Good morning, friends. This is Joel Martin with you for the Everlasting Word. Now, today we're going to be in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 18, and we're going to look at the scripture when the Lord led Jeremiah to go down to the potter's house. And yes, this scripture is geared toward Israel, but there's a lot of applications to this scripture that we can apply to our life and that how we are in God's hands and how we are at God's mercy and that how God can shape and form us any way he pleases. So as we begin with the scripture, beginning with verse 1 in Jeremiah 18, it says, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words." Now, we don't know if Jeremiah had ever been to the potter's house before. So we don't know if he was familiar with how pottery was made. We don't know if he was familiar with the process. We don't know whether he knew anything about it. But the Lord instructed him to go down to the potter's house. And through Jeremiah observing what he was seeing at the potter's house, the Lord was going to teach him some principles. And it's principles that you and I need to understand for our life. So he says in verse 2, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words." So Jeremiah was obedient. He might have questioned within himself, why is the Lord sending me to the potter's house? We don't know. He may have questioned, he may not, but we know that he was obedient. So there's times in our life where the Lord may instruct us to go somewhere, to observe something, to be taught of something, and we don't have to understand why. We just need to be obedient and go where the Lord tells us to go. Then in verse 3, it says, "Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels," he being the potter. So here's Jeremiah observing what the potter is doing with the clay. And as Jeremiah is watching the potter, he sees that the clay is completely at the potter's mercy. The potter can do whatever he pleases with that clay. He can shape that clay in any shape he wants to. He can mold that clay in any shape he wants to. And he can also take that clay if he wants to and throw it away. So he sees that the clay is completely at the potter's mercy. And in verse 4, he sees that the potter had made a vessel out of the clay. And it says in verse 4, "And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter." In other words, the vessel that the potter made, it had a defect in it. There was something about the vessel that was defective and needed to be corrected. Now, the application about that vessel with the defect in it to you and I all, we all have a defect. It is called sin. We were all born with a sin nature. But yes, there is a remedy for that sin. For sin came into the world by one man, that one man being Adam. But the cure for sin, salvation, came into the world by the obedience of one man, that being Jesus Christ himself. He lived a perfect life. He went to the cross. He shed his blood. He died for me and you, so that whosoever believeth in on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But what I want you to notice here in verse 4, it says, "And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter." It had a defect. So it goes on in verse 4. It says, "So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it." So what I want you to notice here is the potter, even though that vessel had a defect in it, he did not throw the clay away. He did not just dispose of the clay. He used the same clay to make a vessel that was pleasing to him. And friends, when we become born again, the Lord uses that same clay. He uses that same person. He uses that same person that was defected by sin, and he makes a new creature out of that person. He takes that same clay and he makes something that is pleasing out of it through the mercy and the grace of his only begotten Son that died on the cross, that shed his blood for you and I, and became that sinless, blemish-free Lamb of God. So see, that's the application of that vessel. God can take the same old vile, sinful person, that same old person, and make a pleasing vessel out of him. He does not cast us away, for he is long-suffering, and his will is that all should come to repentance. And through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, God can make us a pleasing vessel to him. So then as Jeremiah is observing all this, and he sees that the vessel was defective, but that he didn't cast the clay away. He made another vessel out of that. He took care of the defect and made a pleasing vessel. And then it says in verse 5, then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Jeremiah understood the application. He understood the metaphor that the Lord was trying to show him through him observing what the potter was doing with the clay on the potter's wheel. And then in verse 6, he says, O house of Israel. And it's funny here because the Lord asked a question, but it's really more of a statement that's phrased in a question. He says, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? So he's giving Israel the opportunity to take a step back and think about things. Think about their sinful state. Think about the sin that they're in. Think about their rebellion towards God that they're in. And get them to realize and think, wait a minute, we're in God's hands. We're at God's mercy. And God can do with us as he pleases. So he's giving Israel that opportunity to think about it. But what the Lord is really saying is, Israel, I can do the same with you as the potter was doing with this clay on the potter's wheel. And friends, the same application is true with you and I. We are in God's hand. We are at his mercy. The only difference between us and that clay on the potter's wheel is that we have a free will. God has given us the liberty to make our own free will choices. We can choose that if we can choose to obey God, we can choose to surrender to God. If we don't choose to surrender to God, we are in rebellion to God. That is the only difference between us and the clay. Even though God has given us that free will choice, that we are still in his hand, we are still at his mercy. And it says, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord. Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. He's telling Israel, just like that clay that's in the potter's hand, Israel, you are in my hand. Friend, We are in God's hands. We are at His mercy. We are at His will. He can do with us as He pleases. And we are not in control as much as we might think that we're in control. For the Lord, He, whatever the Lord wills in our life will be. And He says in verse 7, He says, at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation? And yes, this is speaking about Israel and concerning a kingdom to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it. So the Lord's saying, if I choose to destroy a nation, I can. I have the power. I have the authority. Friends, He has that power and authority over each one of us, whether you realize it or not. He truly does. He is our creator. He is the author and finisher of our faith. He controls this universe. But see, this world wants to continually live in rebellion towards Him. And there will come a day where every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that He is Lord. But then in verse 8, it says, if that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do of them. So you see the Lord's grace. You see the Lord's mercy. Yes, the Lord will pour out His wrath on sin. When Jesus was on the cross of Calvary from noon till 3 o'clock, when God the Father turned His head from the cross and darkness fell upon the cross of Calvary, Jesus was suffering the wrath of sin for me. He was suffering the wrath of sin for you. God was pouring out His wrath on sin on His only begotten Son. Jesus suffered the penalty. He suffered everything for you and I, for mine and your sake. Jesus loved us so much, He suffered His own Father's wrath on the cross of Calvary for you and I. And then in verse 9 it says, and at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it. If it do evil in my sight that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good. In other words, if that nation or that person or that kingdom turns away from God and rebels against God, the blessings that God had planned to give that nation or that person or that kingdom, God won't grant those blessings anymore. So friends, even though we have that free will of choice, we have that free will, we are still in God's hands. We are still at His mercy. If we are obedient to Him and we repent of our sins and we walk in His paths of righteousness for His name's sake, He will bless us. But if we rebel against Him and turn our back on Him, we are walking that thin line of God's wrath being poured out upon us. And yes, we are at God's mercy. Just like the clay was at the mercy of the hands of the potter. And then we think about it. What are we to do? Friends, we are to surrender ourselves to the Almighty Living God. Walk in His paths of righteousness for His name's sake. For we were bought with a price. We are no longer our own. Friends, if you are born again, you were purchased by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are no longer our own. We are to surrender ourselves a living sacrifice to God, for that is a reasonable service for you and I, for what He has done for us. But just remember, friends, we are at God's mercy. We are in His hand, just like the clay was at the mercy and in the hand of the potter. So that's today's message. I hope it's been helpful to you. I will be back with you next week. This is Joel Martin.